Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In his essay on truth and lying in an extramoral sense, Nietzsche begins by talking about the human intellect. And this is a faculty that throughout the history of philosophy, up until Nietzsche's time, and really even still today in most philosophical traditions, has been understood as not only being the highest faculty in human beings, but as our means of access to modes of knowledge or even of life that are both typically human in a certain way, but also go beyond the human. The intellect is understood as sort of opening up the universe to us in a way that's not possible for non-rational animals, animals that lack an intellect or these sorts of faculties. And Nietzsche begins by, in effect, deflating the intellect. He's got this interesting story here that he's telling. He says, "In some remote corner of the universe that has poured out in countless flickering solar systems, there was once a star on which clever animals invented knowledge. That was the most arrogant and the most untruthful moment in world history, yet indeed only a moment. After nature had taken a few breaths, the star froze over and the clever animals had to die." And then he goes in and he says, "Someone could invent such a fable." This is a fable for him. "And still not have illustrated adequately how pitiful, how shadowy and fleeting, how purposeless and arbitrary the human intellect appears in nature." So there's the story that the intellect tells itself and that we tell ourselves about the intellect. And then there's the reality of the intellect within nature. And notice what Nietzsche says. There's really two sort of lines of complaint or denigration going on here. One is about its own lack of capacities. It's shadowy, right? It is not what it appears to be. And the other has to do with purpose, with having a function, a real function. And Nietzsche does think the intellect has a function, but it's not what we pretend that it is. It's not the story, again, that we tell ourselves. So he goes on and he says, if we want to compare ourselves to other kinds of being, you know, the intellect has no further mission leading beyond human life. He says it's utterly human. Only its owner and producer takes it with such pathos as if the whole world hinged upon it. If we could communicate with the gnat or any other animal, indeed, it would say that its faculties are just as important and its view of the world is just as central. He talks about it feels itself the flying center of the world. So this means that the intellect is really in a kind of self-delusion about its own importance and about the importance of the animal. The human being that bears that faculty. So, what is the function of the intellect? I just mentioned that Nietzsche thinks that its purpose is ultimately to serve human life, not to go beyond the realm of life, but just to conduce to things. We are the animals that have developed in such a way as we have this skill or this faculty or this capacity that the others lack for thinking things out, or they don't have it developed to the same extent, for taking the world and representing it inside of our heads and tinkering around with it and even applying it to our own selves, thinking about why we do the things we do, why we say the things we say, why we feel the way that we do. We develop that, according to Nietzsche, not so that we can grasp truth itself. To begin with, for Nietzsche, truth itself is kind of a figment of our imagination and our language. But he says it quite clearly here that the intellect's role is not primarily apprehending truth. The intellect's role is to serve life, to help us live. So he talks about it here. He says, "In reality, this faculty is given only as help to the most unfortunate, most delicate, and most perishable creature." And if you think about how that's the case, you know, We are the creature that has the big old brain that requires that babies have to be brought up and they're helpless for a much, much longer time. The baby has to eventually develop intellectually, and we lack many of the instincts that other animals do that just sort of kick in and get them where they need to go and have them doing what they need to do. We have to kind of figure it all out, and we often go astray with that sort of thing, right? Our plasticity of our nature can be a boon or an encumbrance. So there's that end of it. But then even as adults, what is our intellect there for? It's to help us, this vulnerable creature. I mean, look at us, right? We have these nails that aren't really claws. We have these tiny little teeth. Of course, our bite is pretty toxic because of all the bacteria that we carry in our mouths, but we can't really rely on that. We're able to do things because we apply our intellects. And that is the advantage that we have over other creatures. So he goes on and he says, the intellect is a means of preserving the individual, a means of preserving one's life, of maintaining the integrity of one's body, you could say. And then he goes on and says it develops its main powers in dissimulation, in German, Verstellung, setting something else out in place of what really is, substituting one thing for another. And if you think about the way in which the intellect does work, that is an important part of it. You know, we talk about processes, for example, of abstraction. What is abstraction, really? It is, depending on, you know, what psychological theory you have for it, it's taking one thing and having it stand in for a whole bunch of others. And this is something he talks about quite a bit in terms of concepts and language a little bit later on in the essay. But I did want to talk about the modes of dissimulation that he talks about here. And we're going to look both at the English and the German for this, just in part because it's nice to compare the two. So he says this art of dissimulation, right, which we use as a tool, both to get by in relation to the other animals and our environment and other people, and also to help ourselves psychologically deal with life. He says, this art of dissimulation reaches its peak in man. Here, deception, flattery, lying and cheating, slander, false pretenses, living on borrowed glory, masquerading, conventions of concealment, play acting before others and before oneself, in sum, the constant fluttering about the flame of vanity, is so much the rule and the law that almost nothing is more incomprehensible than how an honest and pure desire for truth could arise among men. How is it that if we look at human beings and we see all these different ways in which they fool other people and try to fool the other animals in the world and fool themselves, how did the desire for truth arise? So that's an interesting question. That's not one that we're going to worry over much about in this particular discussion. So he says, what are these in German, right? He says, Täuschung, right? Deception, flattery, Schmeicheln, right? Lügen und Trügen, nice, thing right there, lying and cheating. Then when he talks about slander, that is literally the behind-the-back talking, hinter die Rücken reden. Repräsentieren is this false pretenses, das im Entborgene glänzende Leben, das maskiert sein, masquerading, placing a mask on oneself, taking on a persona. The original meaning of persona was, in fact, mask, right, that an actor would put on. By the way, hypocrite comes from the word for actor, the one who is literally before the judges. He goes on and he talks about conventions of concealment, right? Conventions of concealment, verhüllende Konvention, conventions of hiding things, conventions for hiding things. We live by a number of conventions that tell us how to get by in the world, but also hide the true natures of things from us, or at least, if we don't want to talk about truth, just what the things are. He goes on and he says, play acting before others and oneself, right? Bühnenspiel für anderen und für sich selbst. So this is all ways of using the intellect, using the capacities that we have to substitute one thing in place of another in order to gain not truth, but some sort of advantage for life. And the better the intellect is, the more facile it is in discovering the means of persuasion and confusion and concealment and dissimulation. So, what else do we need to say about the intellect and its role here in this essay on truth and lying in an extramoral sense? The last thing that we see him talking about throughout this is that the intellect really does seem to grasp and form concepts and even laws of nature. But Nietzsche is suspicious of this. He thinks that this is really a kind of lying, right? Conventionalized sort of lying that the intellect itself engages in. So these very laws of nature or concepts are themselves forms of dissimulation, and that is what the intellect does best. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.